Thank you, Thomas. Sometimes it's those little children's songs that just, God, you're so good. That says a lot, doesn't it? This morning we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, Luke 19. So if you want to go there, go ahead. Today's message is titled Zacchaeus. Pretty simple. We're talking about a person, but just to give you a little background, today's story actually comes on the heels of the story of the rich young ruler. Now, remember him, he's the one that came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, all right, do these things, keep these commandments. He goes, I've done that, yay, I'm close. And he goes, all right, now go sell everything you have, give it to the poor and come follow me. And the rich young ruler got dejected and went away sad because he had much stuff. His identity, his personhood, his faith, his trust, everything that he knew was caught up in his possessions, in what he had. They became his idol. They became his God. And he couldn't give that up to follow Jesus at this time. Now, we don't know as the story goes on. Maybe, you know, prayerfully the guy finally realized what had done. But Zacchaeus comes right after kind of looking at that interaction. And in verse 1, it says this, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be with a guest of a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Holy Spirit, open our hearts, open our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, Zacchaeus was rich, just like the rich young ruler. He had money. It called him a chief tax collector. I didn't know they moved around in tribes, but somehow he was the chief. He was the head honcho. He was the one in charge of everything. And we've talked about it time and time again, and no offense to tax people or anything else like that, but nobody likes to pay taxes. And they for sure didn't like to pay taxes back in Jerusalem back then, because they had a foreign land invaded them. They were giving money to a foreign government. The temple already required them to give money to God. So they were given to God, they were given to the government. And the problem was what Rome would do would be to pull Jewish people in instead of putting Roman citizens there and make them head over who they were. Now, most of these people were probably not well-liked at the get-go. They probably were social outcasts to begin with. It made them a perfect target for Rome to use. Because what inevitably happened is tax collectors were hated by the people. They called them sinners. Tax collectors, as I said before, were ranked up there with prostitutes, liars, and gossipers. They were not good people, and most of them got to the point where it didn't matter. They weren't known for being fair in their business practices. If Rome required 15%, they would take 20 and keep it, because Rome only cared about what Rome got. And they were doing this to their own people, and they were hated by their fellow Jews. And for that, they often sought comfort in their own wealth, because what else did they have? They could buy stuff, they could build houses, they could have material things. But most normal people didn't want to be around them. The only people that would were the other sinners like them. Other tax collectors they would hang out with, prostitutes and lepers and whoever else was kind of on the dregs of society at that time. So this is Zacchaeus. This is the guy that we get. And as we get into this story, we see some things here. Number one, Jesus was going into Jericho. And Zacchaeus had a problem. He wanted to see Jesus. He'd heard about this guy, this miracle worker, this Messiah type person. He wanted to know what was going on, so he wanted to see him. Now, one of the things that we'll learn in life sometimes is the first thing this morning is sometimes things prevent us from seeing what God is doing. Sometimes things prevent us from seeing what God is doing. Sometimes if it's our own accord, it's something that we've done, something that we've thrown up, a roadblock, a wall that we've put in the way. Other times it's the situation around us. In Zacchaeus' case, it was the crowd. He was short. I don't know how short he was, but apparently he had a hard time seeing over the crowd. I can remember it as a little kid going to do stuff and, you know, you're trying to peek through, you're looking past butts and everything else. It's never a good thing, is it? You know, luckily if Dad was around, Dad might pick you up, put you on his shoulder, put you on his neck, whatever, so you could see over everybody. See, I was, and I'm not tall now. I'm not going to join the NBA for multiple reasons, but one of them is not my height. All right, I am not a tall person as it is. Never was. But I was definitely a runt when I was a kid. I used to hate going to the movie theater. Especially back in the late 70s, early 80s, the big hair era. I couldn't see nothing. Get that lady out. Will you duck down? Or you know, I'm standing up in the chair. Now people behind me are yelling because I'm standing up. It was never good. Problem was, is I also had a mother who was not known for being tall. She was short. I'm going to borrow a joke from a friend. She was so short, you could see her feet in her driver's license photo. That's how. Think about that. That's short, isn't it? All right? I think Mom said one time, says, look, God gave around and he gave me two options. I could have height or I could have intelligence. Then she asked me to reach something up on the top shelf. I don't know what that was saying about me. But that was my job as a kid. I was the tall one in the family, believe it or not, out of my parents and my dad was pretty close, but he was always at work, as a kid. So that was my job. I had to reach the stuff that, I don't know why they put stuff up there anyway. Apparently it was somebody put it up there, Yeah, everybody has that cabinet, right? That we've got one over our refrigerator. This is where all the stuff goes that you may use once every 2 or 3 years, and you got to bring a step stool in or something. Well, I was the step stool. Mom said, just reach up there and grab that. So I've seen what it was must have been like for Zacchaeus. He had a hard time seeing. He was short. He couldn't see over the people. There are so many things that we allow to get in our way, so many walls and obstacles that come up before us. And oftentimes it is other people. Oftentimes it's our interaction and relationship with other people that prevent us to see where God is working, to see what God is doing. And all we can do sometimes is, on our behalf, try to make amends, try to adjust the relationship any way we can. We can't work for the other one. I'm sure Zacchaeus wasn't just standing there going, I just can't see. I'm sure he was asking, can I slide through here? Can you excuse me, please? I'm sure on his behalf, he was, can I get in front to see? And of course, nobody likes Zacchaeus, so you're probably like, no, tax collector, go away. No, you don't need to see nothing. He won't have anything to do with you, you sinner. But something happened. He was not going to be deterred, was he? And number two, don't be afraid to go out on a limb to encounter Jesus. See what I did there? Zacchaeus got up in a tree. He found a tree. He ran up ahead. He climbed up in a tree and said, I'm going to beat the crowd. I'm going to get up high. As you know, I apparently watch too many movies and televisions because most of my references come from that source of media. But it reminds me of the movie Crocodile Dundee when he came to New York City. He's used to being in the vast outback of Australia, wide open spaces and dealing with nothing but crocodiles, trees, and snakes. And now he's packed into New York City, and I've never been there. Don't really have a desire to go, no offense to any New York people. But it was crowded back then. Not now because of COVID, but and they're all moving to South Florida. But, So he's in the midst of this crowd. He can't figure out where he's at. He's lost. And all of a sudden, the next scene flashes. He's up on a, you know, one of the crosswalk poles. He's climbed up the pole, and he's standing up on the pole looking around so he could get above the crowd to see what was going on. By the time, you know, a mounted police officer came up and, "Can I help you?" gave him a ride into his hotel. But sometimes you got to get up above the crowd to see what God is doing, don't you? Sometimes the crowd is not where we're going to be. You know, democracy is not biblical. There's a reason majority doesn't rule in the Bible. The shepherd says go, you go. And if he doesn't, he gets his stick out and he moves you. Sometimes the crowd gets locked in and the crowd gets to moving. We've got to get up in a tree. We've got to go out on that limb. And sometimes we've got to do these things that are so different, so uncomfortable. I used to love climbing trees. I could scoot up. I don't care what kind of tree. I could scoot it up. Whoop. Limbs on the bottom or not, somehow I'd shimmy up it. I remember we went, it was a business trip. We were down in the islands, and the guy went up, was cutting fresh coconut. Has anybody ever seen anybody do that in live person? This little guy, you've seen big old palm trees, right? There's no limbs on a palm tree, is there? Not really, not until you get all the way to the top where the coconuts were. I don't know, this guy, nothing else, just his arms, just his legs, jumped on this palm tree at the bottom, bear hugged it and shimmied all the way up to the top where it starts to curve back over, and he's hanging upside down, knocking coconuts out of it. And then shimmies back down it. Of course, I couldn't do that now because as soon as I got to the breaking point of that tree, the tree would fall over and I'd be on the ground again. But whatever. But now, I don't know that, you know, if I had to climb a tree, I don't know that I could. It'd have to be a very solid tree, one. But sometimes we have to do these things that are uncomfortable. These things that take us out of where our comfort zone is. These things that don't seem proper. You know, good people of society would not have climbed a tree, would they? No, you keep your feet on the ground. Because it's not like they wore pants back then either. Remember that. They were wearing robes. That's, you don't get up above people. But there he is. Grown man, tax collector, scoots up a tree. He was going to see Jesus. He was not going to be stopped. And what happens? Here comes Jesus walking down the street. Stopped, looked up, saw him. Now, y'all, I don't think Jesus, by one iota, do I think Jesus was just happening down the street and went, wait, there was something in that tree. Backed up and saw him. I think Jesus started walking down the street and knew he was in that tree and walked right up to that tree. And stopped and went, Zacchaeus, come down. What did he say? He says, I think I want to go to your house today. Uh-uh. He said, why don't we go get a cup of coffee at Starbucks? No, because they didn't have that either, did they? He says, Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house. I must. Now, who can tell God to do anything except God? It was a divine ordained appointment for Jesus to encounter Zacchaeus. To see him up in that tree. And he didn't bring him down and just go, okay, let's sit over here on this park bench and talk for a minute. What do you want to know? What did he say? I'm going to your house. Now, I don't know about y'all, but your house, that's your kingdom, that's your sanctuary, right? That's where the rest of the world's supposed to leave you alone, is it not? Except for those aggravating phone calls every now and then to come in and say, block caller. Would you like to buy life insurance? No. Yes. People ring the doorbell, you can peek out the window and ignore them, can't you? Except your dog's going nuts and barking. My house is even easier because we're on a farm and you got to get through the gate somehow. Usually once they see our big dogs, they don't do that. But this is number three. Jesus wants to have a personal encounter with those he calls. They didn't go to a coffee shop. They didn't go to sit on the park bench. He says, I'm going to your house. There's no place more personal than going to somebody's house, is there? It's one of the reasons, and back in the day, that visitation was kind of a cool thing. Because what it allowed people to do is, people that they normally wouldn't be able to communicate with, you know, out and stuff like that, because they were in the comfort of their own home, they were hosting a visitor, they felt a little more in control, so they were able to talk to you a little bit more. The problem is, now this mentality has flipped. Now people are at home, visitation doesn't work like it used to, because people don't want you in their house anymore. Like I said, this is our private place, this is our inner sanctum, this is where we keep the rest of the world out. So nowadays, it's actually better to go someplace public. But there comes a point where, and this is how you know you're beginning to connect with people, when they invite you to their house. Right? And you know you've really connected with somebody when they invite you to their house and they don't go, let me go home and clean up first, come over in about 30 minutes. Call for, right? But Jesus wants to have a personal encounter with those he called. He wanted to go to Zacchaeus' house. He wanted to stay there. He wanted to have food with him, talk with him, hang out with him. See, that's the God we serve. It's not a God. God could have very easily walked up the tree and, Zacchaeus, here's who I am, here's who you are, repent, and go about your way. Couldn't he? Would Zacchaeus have been any more saved if he had done that? He would have been just as saved as he is now. But that's not God. God wants to have this personal encounter with us, this personal relationship with each one of us that he calls. And he called Zacchaeus. He knew his name. Do you think that blew Zacchaeus' mind? Because I'm pretty sure Zacchaeus hadn't seen Jesus come through his tax booth, has he? Maybe he thought, well, I'm sure people have told him who I am. You know, I am a chief tax collector. People may know me, right? Did y'all ever think about it? How many times has Jesus used somebody's name? In the interim between the rich young ruler and this story, we see a healing of a blind person. And one of the Gospels calls him blind Bartimaeus. So often Jesus called those people that he was doing something with, he called them by name. And you hear almost none of them went go, how do you know who I am? They just took it. My mind would have blown. I'd have been hanging out in the tree. Jesus walk up and go, Lee, and I know you. I've heard about you. I've seen things about you. But we've never met. How do you know my name? But he called him by name. Calls him to come down. Let's go to your house. Now, number four. When Jesus calls, stop what you're doing and go. Let me say that again. When Jesus calls, stop what you're doing and go. You think Zacchaeus hung out in the tree for a few more minutes? He might have become like a little kid again and just jumped down from where he was. Oh, let's go, let's go, come on. Now see the difference between the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus? Already, Jesus told the rich young ruler, follow me. And he went away sad. Jesus says, come, follow me, let's go to your house. Zacchaeus jumps down and goes with him. Church, as Jesus calls, we've got to stop where we're at, we've got to adjust, and we've got to go where he's going. We've got to go with him. Now, obviously and always, it never fails, when Jesus encounters somebody like Zacchaeus, there's always that group of people standing around, isn't there? The ones that always get upset about who Jesus is talking with. He's not one of us. He's not good people. He's a sinner. Yes, he is. You can't associate with those people. Jesus had more personal encounters with the sinners and the what the world would consider losers of society than he ever did with the holier-than-thou religious people of Jesus' day. The interactions he had with them were never good. Save one or two. But there's always that group for some reason. You know, and like, that hasn't changed, has it? 2,000 some odd years, it has not changed. It doesn't matter if the church is doing something good, if God is doing something in your life, there's always those people you tell, and they're always the ones that want to throw cold water on it, aren't they? And we just got to pray for them and keep moving. Number five, encountering Jesus radically changes your life. I love that word, radically. Encountering Jesus radically changes your life. What does Zacchaeus do? God didn't tell him to do anything. He just said, come with me, we're going to your house. Zacchaeus came up to him and says, I'm giving half of what I own to the poor. And you think, only half? That's a lot though, isn't it? Especially when Jesus didn't even ask for it. See, now Jesus asked the rich young ruler to give up his stuff, didn't he? How much of that did he give? None. I wonder if the rich young ruler had countered Jesus' offer. Sell everything, give it to the poor, follow me. But Lord, can I just sell half? Jesus would say, this is not let's make a deal. But Jesus didn't ask for this. Zacchaeus' heart was right. He said, I'm giving half of what I got. I'm selling it all. I'm giving it to the poor. And you know what? Those people that I've taken things from, and the way the scriptures, and if I've taken anything from, that doesn't mean, and if that's possible, all right? It actually means for those that I have taken by false accusation, for those that I've said, you owe more money than what you think you owe. To them, I'm not just giving back what I took, am I? I took an extra 20 bucks. I'm sorry, here's your 20 back. You're getting 80 bucks. Four times what I took, I'll give back. Now you see why he kept the other half? It wasn't for his own self, it was to make right with those that he had wronged. That's a radical change. That's a radical change. Do you think people hated Zacchaeus after that? I don't know, because really this is kind of the end of the story. What happened to Zacchaeus after this? Did he go back to his tax collector job and quit? Did he go back to his tax collector job and just take what was owed him? If he did go back, I'm pretty sure that's all he did. Used whatever pay he may or may not have got to do something with it. To do something for the kingdom of God. It's a radical change. And that's what it means to repent. That's literally, it means the kind of you're going this way is to actually turn and completely go the opposite direction. Away from where you were headed. Turn from this world to turn toward God. The things of God are not the things of this world. The things we put our trust in here are not the things God wants us to put our trust in and put our faith in. If we will allow Him, Jesus can radically change our lives. And not in the way some churches preach it. You're not going to have $1 million. You're not. I mean, I don't know. God may give you that. And if He does, God bless you. We could use the tithes. But, you know, if He does, and that's what, that's what it's for. But God changes who you are. He changes your mindset. He changes how you value it. He changed how Zacchaeus looked at the world around him. And see, it would have been enough for him to go, you know what, those people I've wronged, I'm going to give them back. And I'm just going to give it back, even if I'm going to double it, or even if he four-folded it. He did what he did, quadrupled it. That would have been great, wouldn't it? Most religious people would have gone, wow, that's awesome. But he didn't even start with that. The first thing he started with is, I am taking half and I'm giving it to the poor. Because he now realized that what God has given him is so much greater than what his faith had been in. That Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. Jesus wasn't saying that after he announced the money he gave. Make sure we're clear on that. Zacchaeus didn't give 50% and then return what was wrong. And then Jesus said, today salvation has come. He's letting the world know salvation has come, and this is the evidence of it right here. What's the evidence of our faith? What's the evidence that salvation has come in our life? Do our resources reach a world that is lost and dying? In Zacchaeus' case, it was money. Not all of us are going to be able to look and people go, yeah, he was rich. All right, that may not happen. That's probably not the majority of people. We're rich in other ways. Maybe it's time. Maybe there's certain skills or talents that we have. Are we using those and giving them back to the kingdom? And if we don't get anything else out of the day's lesson, one of the last things Jesus left us with is this. Like Jesus, we are to seek out the lost. See, Jesus came, I have come to seek and to save that was lost. Jesus didn't say, I came to sit here and wait for the lost to find me, did he? If you notice, very rarely was Jesus just sitting around, was he? In the 3 years of his ministry, he was constantly moving, wasn't he? See, we serve a God who's not standing still, a God that is always in motion, that is always at work. So are we to be. We are to seek out the lost. How do you do that? Well, everywhere you go, they're everywhere. Right? The store, doctor's office, school, or it doesn't matter. There are lost people everywhere. And I think many of us, I think we're willing. We say, God, give us a person to talk to. And if the person doesn't come up to us and go, excuse me, can you tell me about Jesus? We're just like, well, I guess that wasn't the one, was it? But it's awkward, isn't it? Wouldn't it be awkward just to walk up, you're pumping gas at the gas station, somebody pulls up next to you and starts pumping gas? Wouldn't it be weird just kind of look around the pump and go, hey, how you doing? Good. Do you know Jesus? What's people's general reaction? I'm pumping gas, man. But there's no reason we can't do that, is there? It's uncomfortable. And you know what? I'm not going to tell you to go out. Well, you know what? Maybe I am. Maybe that's our challenge for this week. Why don't we awkwardly, every one of us, try to find at least one person we can go out and awkwardly ask, do you know Jesus? But I'm going to leave that between you and God. I'm not going to take attendance next week and go, all right, who had a weird encounter this week? Now, if you'd like to share, please do. Maybe you can find a smoother way to do it than that. You know, you're at the grocery store and bread comes through. Oh. Hey, that's bread right there. Yeah, you know Jesus is the bread of life. You know, find one of those weird transitions, right? Don't do that. People look at you weird. Maybe that's our challenge. Who are we going to seek this week? What lost person is out there that we can go find? Now notice I didn't say that we are to save the lost. We can't save anybody, can we? Only Christ can save. That's Jesus' job. Our job is to find them, point them to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. God, I am so thankful that You desire a personal relationship with each of us, that You want to have a personal encounter with us, and that You have called us by name. God, I pray through the power of Your Holy Spirit, if there's anyone here who doesn't truly know You, hasn't fully given their life to You, that they would do so this morning, God, that You would work in their hearts. If there's anyone online, speak to them, Holy Spirit. God, as we leave this place, let us remember we're going into the mission field. The times we're here is for training and edification and healing for us to go out into the world as missionaries. Help us to be bold in our faith. Even if we come across awkward, God, I pray that You use every opportunity that You give us this week for Your glory. Lord, we thank You. We thank You so much that You receive us as we are. Scripture tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have to clean ourselves up. We didn't have to make ourselves ready. You came and did that for us. So it doesn't matter where you're at in your faith. If you need Jesus, just come. Jesus, is in Your name we pray. Amen.